today is my favorite day of football of the entire year. Well, now, why are you laughing? It's true. There are two big games, you know, both championship games to go to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl's fun, but there's so much hype, and usually that game's not very good. But there are two games today. So today is a good day. So from 2 o'clock until the end of the second game, I am unavailable for anything. So if you choose to call, I will ignore your phone call. But it's caused me to think about teams and what we do to associate ourselves with specific teams. You know, as a result, I mean, I've got a Rollin' Story shirt on. This signifies I am associated with the Rollin' Story teams. Jerseys. You know, we wear jerseys to associate who's on one team, who's on another. If you go to an NFL game, it's interesting, 3/4 of the crowd wears jerseys. You know, it's like they think they're going to get called out of the stands to play. But it's true. I mean, everybody wears jerseys. That's what happens in NFL games. It doesn't happen in college games. You know, they wear just colors. We paint ourselves, you know, body paint. Usually take your shirts off. It's probably very cold, but they want to get on TV, so they paint themselves. We paint faces. You know, a New Orleans Saints fan. You know, people go pretty overboard. We wear things. You know, last week we had a lot of people wearing Packer stuff. I don't know if you guys remember. You know, they wear weird things. You know, cheese heads. What is with that? As opposed to the smart fans who wear Viking horns. You know, and we see an actual Viking. You know, they dress up, they wear stuff, and I'm going to set this here showing the Viking dominance over the Packers. But even crazier is Raider Nation. That's pictures like that are why I used to be a Raider fan. It's pictures like that why I'm no longer a Raider fan. And my favorite, which the barrel man, you know, he wore that, since the mid-70s or earlier to every game, regardless of the weather. So he's actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you know, because he was willing to be a fool for his team. In some households, you know, we have a couple teams involved. We can, you know, the house divided thing, Iowa State, Iowa Hawkeyes again, Iowa State on top showing their dominance. But, you know, you think about teams, and we're going to look at a section of scripture today where I think Paul is saying, you know, there are two teams, and it's your choice which team you want to be associated with. You know, as you recall last week, if you were with us, Paul is telling, we're in the first chapter of Romans, Paul is saying, I long to go see you. I want to come visit you. Your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world. And I want to come see you. And it says it's been revealed through faith that the righteous shall live by faith. And that's how we ended our section last week, that Paul is praising the believers in Rome, saying it's been revealed to us from God that the righteous live by faith. So we got those. You know, as you think about righteous, it's the right standing with God. It's where your sins are forgiven. It's, you know, it's kind of a, your relationship with God is where it should be. And he says, hey, that's, you guys, this team, you guys are doing great here. He goes on to say, and we're going to read this section, so God's wrath has also been revealed. So it's been revealed from God that the righteous live by faith, and it's been revealed by God that God's wrath against sin. And that's what we're going to look at today, that Paul transitions to looking at the non-believers, those who have chosen not to follow God. He calls the godless acts, those that are unrighteous, is what Paul focuses on today. And you know, it's almost like we've got this group that the righteous live by faith, and we've got this other group, you know, who are ungodless and unrighteous, and that their behavior leads to sin. So we're going to kind of compare, and it's our choice which team we want to belong to. You know, whether we want to wear Viking horns with the righteous, or the cheese head with the unrighteous. No. The Packers are clearly better than the Vikings this year. I will acknowledge that. So open your Bibles, open your copies of God's Word to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 18 through 32. So 18 through the end of the chapter, Romans chapter 1. Just remember, I mean, we just concluded where Paul says it's been revealed, the righteous live by faith. Okay, and now it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godliness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, of the glory of the immortal God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So, you know, Paul is looking at sin as the byproduct of those who choose not to have faith, who choose not to follow God. And I think the first thing we need to realize is that if you choose the ungodly side, if you choose the unrighteous side, if you choose the side opposite of faith, that you have no excuse when you stand before God and say, I didn't know. God makes it clear and verses 19 and 20, it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. So if people stand, you know, on the day of judgment, people stand before God and say, I had no clue. It's clear, it says, you are without excuse because God's nature proclaims his divineness, that he is God, that there is a God, shows his eternal power. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, so there is no excuse for people that say, you know, God does not exist. And I know, you know, at Iowa State just a few years ago was the big argument over intelligent design or what's the other, evolution or Big Bang or whatever. And Paul would say, you know, if you take a good look at creation, it says there is a God and that you have no excuse to think otherwise. So as you think about these two teams, there's no excuse if you choose to be on the other side. You know, you will be accountable. And it's interesting in this section of Scripture, three times it says, God gave them over. You know, because of this behavior, God gave them over to whatever. Because of this behavior, God gave them over. Because of this behavior, God gave them over. So it makes sense if God is saying, this behavior on this team, I'm not pointing at James in particular, just this side of the room. No. If you choose to be on the ungodly side, the unrighteous side, it says God will give you over to specific behavior, to sin. You know, if you choose that way, God says, fine. You know, I will allow you to drift that way. And it's a concern, you know, for those that try to live a life of faith, is as you take God out of that position, the natural byproduct is drift to sin. So our focus today is, how do we remain fully devoted to this team, to the righteous shall live by faith? You know, how do we stay devoted to that? So we're going to look at kind of the opposite side that Paul uses as examples, is, hey, if we do the opposite thing, maybe that can help us stay in that righteous shall live by faith side. So verses 21 through 24. It says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So, you know, it says they didn't honor God. They didn't give thanks to God. You know, they claimed to be wise but became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling man, birds, animals, creeping things. So they were worshiping things that weren't God. You know, they had false gods. You know, worshiping snakes, golden calves. You know, we recall, and as they left Egypt, they made a golden calf. So idolatry. And it says, what happens? Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. So because of their behavior, God gave them up to sin. So for us, the opposite is give God the position he deserves. You know, God deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be praised. And we need to give him that position. You know, in our world, our issue isn't so much worshipping golden calves or worshipping horns or cheese. Or, you know, we don't typically set up little things to worship in our house. But there are things that take our focus off God. You know, there are things that false teachings can take our focus off what God is, what God has done, and we can believe in a lie. And so we need to be careful. I mean, there's all sorts of cults out there that have false teaching. There are even, you know, in churches we can get false teaching that teaches wrong things about God, and we need to be careful about that. We may not, you know, trust in Viking horns, but we can become very self-reliant and place our trust in ourselves. You know, where when we have need, we don't turn to God, we turn to ourselves. And that we think, okay, everything's going to be fine because I can work my way through this. I can figure this out. We can become very self-reliant. We can place our trust in material things. You know, if I only had enough money, if I lived in a different house, then things would be awesome. You know, that would be the best. If I had a new car, that'd be the best thing ever. I'd be happy. I'd be happy then. Or in our world right now, it's political. If only so-and-so were president, if James were president, that would solve all of our issues. You know, that would be great. James, that would be fantastic. I'd vote for you. You'd get one. But our, you know, our trust can't be in our political world. Our trust can't be on people or things. Our trust must be on Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is pointing out. That if you don't give Christ the position he deserves, the natural byproduct is drift, is sin. And that sin leads to death. Let's look down at the next section, verses 25. It gives another description. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. So again, that idolatry, the worshipping false gods, Says the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So it says, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You know, God allowed this drift into sin. So the opposite is we need to uphold God's truth. We need to obey God's word. You know, that needs to be our thing that centers us. You know, we have truth. The Bible says Jesus is truth. The Bible says God's word is truth. You know, we need to trust in that. We need to rely on that. We need to spend time in God's word. We need to obey it. And again, we have no excuse. You know, if you stand before God and say, I didn't know, no one told me. You know, there is no excuse in our society to say, hey, I had no copy of God's word. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, talk to me afterwards. I'll give you a copy. If we have 50 people, I'll have to order some. But we'll give you a copy of God's word. We have no excuse. The challenge to stay faithful is you need to uphold God's word, uphold that truth, and follow and read that truth. Verses 28, we see some more issues. It says, since they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, so they didn't acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Just as an aside, that section previously that talks about God giving them up to women having unnatural relations with and men having relations with men. I mean, this is one of the passages of Scripture that is used against homosexual sex. It's one that people talk about all the time, and I believe rightly so. I mean, I think as you read that, it says God does not condone that. But we need to remember, and I can fall into this as well, that we tend to elevate that sin above every other sin. You know, we would say, well, that is the worst, you know, and we say, you can't do that, you can't do that. And as we see in this list now, there's a bunch of other sin. And that, you know, that I struggle with, you know, that you guys may perhaps struggle with. So I think God is saying that sin is sin. You know, and we need to realize that and strive not to be in the camp where we drift towards sin. But the actions we see here, all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Then I want every kid to pay attention here. Disobedient to parents. I pointed that out to my kids. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. You know, this whole list and category of sin. But because they didn't acknowledge God, God gave them over to that. And it's something, you know, that should concern us, that we need to acknowledge God. Proverbs 3, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and mind and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And I mean, the person that comes to mind is Tim Tebow. I mean, he is, and I know some people are sick of Tim Tebow. I mean, it's all we heard about for several weeks. But I mean, he does as good a job of acknowledging God as anybody I've seen publicly, anyway. You know, he is constantly pointing people back towards God. You know, I wish I could be so bold. You know, he's constantly giving credit to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's an example of acknowledging God in all that you do. And that helps keep us in, you know, that camp, that team, that the righteous shall live by faith. You know, acknowledge who God is. We have one last warning in this section, verse 32. It says, though they know God's decree, and those who practice such things deserve death. And that they know that You know, so they know God's word, they know the decree, they continue to practice these sinful acts, and they know that that should lead to death. But they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. So the call to not approve of sin, you know, that sin leads to death, you know, they not only do it, they approve others, and that approval of others is a hard thing. You know, the command in Matthew that, you know, I approach James and confront him with the sin. He says, don't pull the speck out of his eye when I've got a big log in my own. You know, so I need to acknowledge I have sin issues as well. But it still says, but, you know, take care of your own and then go. You know, so there is a call to approach others with sin in sin issues. You know, we need to do it in love. I think sometimes that is missing. You know, we like to point out sinful areas and just, you know, bullhorn them. You're sinning, you're going to hell. You know, somehow it needs to be through relationships and through love. You know, people need to be warned, yes. How that works, I'm not totally sure. But we are cautioned against the approval of sin. So, you know, the thing about this section of Scripture that concerns me the most is how easy it is to drift from living a life of faith, where the righteous live by faith, to this other side, you know, where God gives you over. And I'm not talking about losing salvation or any of that regard. I'm just talking about consequences for sin. That as you take Christ out of the position he deserves, this section, I think, teaches that the natural byproduct, the natural drift, is into sin. You know, and that should concern us because it says God gave them over. So God will allow us as believers to go in sin. And as we mess with sin, I think God says, okay, consequences are going to happen. I'm going to let them happen. You know, and thankfully, God gives us grace. You know, that we don't always get what we deserve. But, you know, God says, hey, this is what this is going to lead to. This is what it's going to lead to. And you think about the prodigal son, and, you know, they allowed, the father allowed the son to leave. You know, so your life gets messed up enough where you turn to Jesus. You turn back to God and come, you know, come back and give Christ the position that he deserves. So I've got an assignment, some application questions. I'm tired of coming up with an application for you guys every time I'm up here. So you guys are going to do that yourselves. Okay? So you're going to turn to somebody near you. If you don't want to talk to a family member, turn to somebody behind you. How can we practically live this? You know, what are some practical things we can do to stay in that camp, to stay in that team where the righteous live by faith? And I want you guys to remember that it's not things we do to gain faith. You know, faith in Christ is just putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, accepting him as your Savior. It's not just faith, but we do things because of that faith. So what are some things that we can practically do to ensure that we stay in that camp, the righteous shall live by faith? You're going to have 3 minutes. 3 minutes is going to seem like a long time if you don't sit and talk to each other. So talk to each other. Kevin, you want to put some music on? That'll help us a lot. So start now. Well, that song's over. It's probably a good time to stop. I want to hear some answers. I want some volunteers. Share what you guys talked about. If you want to say so-and-so said this, I'm fine with that. You don't want to give your own. But ask for, give me some volunteers, what was said. Carrie.
One of the things we were talking about was bringing whatever it is you're struggling with out into the light, into the open. So telling another person, another believer about it.
So bringing whatever issues to others, bring it to God. Give some assistance, some encouragement, some accountability. Can help you stay focused in that the righteous shall live by faith. You know, to be upfront with what your struggles are. You know, the relational component. We like to cocoon ourselves and go through every struggle all by ourselves. But if we share those things, that'll help us to be faithful. What else? Matt?
Talked about being accountable to somebody. For example, it'd be easy for Deb and I to live together and live separate lives under the same roof and look the other way and never hold each other accountable for the things that we read or watch or say or do. And she knows I'll call her out, and I know she'll call me out. And we've given each other permission pretty much to do that. That helps keep us.
Accountability and communication. And when you said it's easy for you guys to live together, I'm guessing that's not Depp's perspective. But yeah, I mean, the accountability thing, the relational thing, to help us through struggles, to, you know, what's coming into our mind, what's coming into our life, you know, those things. What else?
Scripture.
Yep, God's word can keep us grounded. You know, first service, somebody mentioned that they start each day with a devotional in Scripture, and then it helps each day to get going in the proper direction, to stay in this, you know, the righteous shall live by faith. And, you know, and it needs to be a daily thing. You know, it's so easy to, if you think just Sunday morning's all you need, it's so easy to drift. What else? The type of music you might listen to, the type of TV you might watch, the things you might read. You know, those are all things that get into your heart and kind of take seed. And, you know, as I was reading this week, somebody talked about that. And I wanted to ignore it because I kind of like what I watch on TV. You know, I like what I want to read and all that stuff. But, you know, it can take a root and take seed. And when Christ is in the center, it leads to drift. You know, to drift towards sin. What else? Now, just because I use this side as my example of faith and this side as non-faith, you guys can still have answers over here.
I guess as parents, it says in the Bible that if you raise your kids up in the way they should go, they'll learn apart from it. So, you know, as parents, raise your child up in faith.
To seek to, you know, impact your children for the faith, you know, to instill godly values, to instill the, you know, Scripture into your kids. And how you parent is important. What else? Just a couple more. So WWJD bracelets. You know, I've got horns that I should wear around to remind me of, you know, things that can't, I mean, there are things that can remind us, you know, of faith. I had a friend who, when he would travel, he had a bobblehead Jesus. You know, which sounds just weird, but he would set that on the TV and would keep him accountable, a reminder that, hey, I need to watch what I'm watching on TV. Or he'd put it by his computer as a reminder that that Jesus is watching over me. So, and the WWJD bracelet can serve as that same purpose. One more. Yes. Having some boundaries on kids. I mean, kids having their own boundaries on, you know, Xbox, PS3, I mean, all those, well, the Wii, I mean, any of that stuff, it can take lots of time. It just, yeah, kind of, several hours later, you're still doing it, and what good did that actually occur? Since I'm well beyond those games, I'm fine with that. I have other issues. Yeah, somebody said football. Watch it. Watch it. You're meddling now. So I think this section is clear. You know, we've got, it's been revealed the righteous shall live by faith, and it's been revealed God's wrath against sin, and that sin leads to death. And that's, you know, Paul is going to spend the next few chapters dealing with sin. And we'll say that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. And that it's through sin, the wages of sin is death. You know, but because of Christ, we have forgiveness for sin. You know, so as we stray, as we, you know, can take Christ off the position he deserves, we have forgiveness and we can come back, and God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. He'll cleanse us from that unrighteousness. And, you know, it's starting over is a strong word, but it's a kind of a reset button. God allows sin to happen to drive you back to him. And we need to remember that. It's going to be a focus the rest of Romans. You know, that we are unrighteous before God, that our sin separates us from God. The only solution is faith in Jesus Christ. That's what leads us and cleanses us of our sin. And Romans will show us how to, the things we talked about, the practical things, how to live out our faith. Romans will also give us some great practical ideas on how to live it out. As our worship team comes forward, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this section of Romans. Lord, what it has to teach us about the righteous living by faith and the warnings it gives us against sin and how sin deserves your wrath, your anger. Lord, I just pray that as we take you out of the position you deserve, Lord, that you would remind us that, hey, you know, you're drifting, you're moving, you're not following me, you're not living as you're supposed to live, that you would remind us and gently correct us so that we could turn from our sin, to turn from that and again give you the place that you deserve. Lord, there's several ways we talked about today to try to keep ourselves on track, and I know there's others that we didn't talk about. Lord, I pray for each one of us that you would show us a way to help us to remain faithful to you, because you indeed are worthy of our praise. Amen.